بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah Ta'ala deals with His servants in different ways. The basis is His pleasure. But the route that will be taken may be different. All will not be taken in the very same route. We are all like passengers, and we have got one common destination, common goal. And we may be going to the common goal in different ways. Someone is going by bicycle, someone by bus, train, aeroplane, ship, whichever way. As long as the destination and the goal is the same, then we're all right. So the primary concern must be that is that goal the same or not? The figure and the concern shouldn't be why am I going by bicycle and you going by train. That shouldn't be a major concern. The major concern should be that am I going in the same direction or not? So this should be the primary concern, the primary figure. Then Allah Ta'ala will take His servants in ways that are appropriate for them. Someone is tested with poverty and someone is tried out with wealth. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala blessed him with immense wealth. لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّن بَعْدِ Such wealth that Allah Ta'ala hadn't granted to anybody in the past, and nobody got it in the future as well. Allah Ta'ala granted him authority over jinnat. يَعْمَلُونَ لَهُ مَا يَشَاءُ مِن مَحَارِيبَ وَتَمَاثِيلَ وَجِفَانٍ كَالْجَوَابِ Big mansions, big structures they would put up. Up to now, you see some of these ancient buildings and you see slabs over 4 or 5 tons. Right? And it gets you worried, how did they manage to raise up those slabs to that level? Science will tell you something, whatever. I don't want to tell you exactly how it took place because I don't know myself. But the Quran Sharif has got this in record, كُلَّ بَنَّاءٍ وَغَوَّاسٍ that this jinnat and shayateen, Sulaiman used to employ them for the building structures. And we know of the immense power. Quran Sharif speaks about their power. Ifritu min al-jinn an atika bihi qabla an taquma min maqamik. One powerful jinnat, he got up and he offered his help to Sulaiman alayhi salam, that I will bring the throne of Bilqis. The throne of Bilqis was a massive thing. The description that is given is as big as his madrasa. So might, so big, so massive throne. But he says to Sulaiman alayhi salam, offering him his help, that I will bring it to you in the batting of an eye. Before you can get up from your sitting, you know, you have a sitting, a king will have a sitting for his people, but I will bring it. I'll bring it with that speed. So the jinnat have immense power, great power. Hazrat Mawlana Ubaidullah Marhoom Maghfoor, one of the elders in the Nizamuddin Markaz, someone was explaining about the power of jinnat and went on to explain that, see this place here, certain place, he explained that jinnats frequent this place, so don't take a chance. So one person, very powerful, very strong in built and all that, so what can they do? It's alright, you come here at about 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the night, I want to see what happens to you. So he went, he stayed there, he stayed at that place. Now he's waiting, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. At 1 o'clock he sees someone coming, his head is as big as a dig, and his fingernails are as long as your hand. And now he doesn't know what to do. He never seen something like this. And that jinnat, what it did, just its fingernails, it placed on his lungi, you know. Just caught his lungi with that fingernails. The shock he got, the way he was terrified, he just left whatever it was, he left it and ran for his life. Lungi is out and is running. So this is the immense power Allah Ta'ala has blessed them. And Allah Ta'ala had commissioned them to His power, to His authority. كُلَّ بَنَّاءٍ وَغَوَّاسٍ. Put up big structures and they would dive the depths of the seas and pull out rubies and precious stones, precious gems for Sulaiman alayhi salam. So Allah Ta'ala blessed him with that type of wealth. Then he had power over the winds. وَلِسُلَيْمَانَ الرِّيحَ غُدُوُّهَا شَهْرٌ وَرَوَاحُهَا شَهْرٌ. In the morning stride, he could complete a month's distance. What it would normally take a person to cover in a month, he would complete in a morning stride. In the evening stride, he would complete a month's distance. The wealth Allah Ta'ala blessed him, the power Allah Ta'ala blessed him, Allah Ta'ala hadn't blessed anybody in the past, and nobody will get that in the future. Then you had Dawud alayhi salam, also similar, Allah Ta'ala blessed him with wealth. Right? And then there were the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, who preferred a life of austerity, contentment, and they didn't want that wealth of their own choice. Like I explained last night, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had taken on poverty, he had preferred poverty of his choice. Not that poverty was pushed onto him, but of his choice he had preferred going the route of poverty. Wealth was offered to him. Jibreel alayhi salam had come and this offer was made to him. Nabiyun Malikun, do you wish to be a Nabi and a king, or do you wish to remain a Nabi without being a king? Malikun Abdun. So Rasulullah SAW looked towards the Jibreel alayhi salam, istisharatan, as though asking him, what should I say? Okay. So the Jibreel alayhi salam had made himself appear small. Like, you know, someone contracted. So he made himself appear small. Rasulullah understood that no, Malikun Abdun. I should prefer this path of a Nabi, but as a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will be safer for you and for your ummah. So overall, there were anbiya that had wealth, had power and might following. And there were Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam that didn't have all this. Many times you find students and ulama and they don't find a support, they don't find a following, and they feel depressed within themselves that I don't have a following. I don't have the audience. I don't command any type of audience, any type of crowd. So this mustn't be a fikr, it mustn't be a concern. Your work is to do the work, and like I said, the goal must be a common goal, a common destination, that is the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. If you got that and you got no following, then too you are successful. But if you got a good following and your goal is not the same, the goal is not right, then of what good is that following? Your goal is not the same. Goal is popularity, for example, it's not the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. It's wealth, for example, for you to appear in the limelight. That's your goal. And you got a big, tremendous following. And you learned the art of oratory and speaking, etc., all that you learned, but you haven't got that type of goal, then what's the good? Rasulullah was shown Anbiya and their following. One Nabi sees and a whole horizon of people, and then he sees a Nabi with a few following, 10, 15, 20 people. And وَنَبِيٌ وَلَيْسَ مَعَهُ أَحَدٍ. And then a Nabi, and he's got no following, absolutely no following. So can we ever say, in any breadth of imagination, can we ever say that that Nabi that did not have a following is anywhere less successful? No. Nuh al-Islam worked for 950 years, and we hear it very commonly that he had only 80 following. 80 people following him, that's all. 950 years. As though in every 100 years, he had just had about less than 9 people following him. About 9 people following every 100 years. Imagine you're working your whole life out. دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا. Morning and night, day and night he's working. دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا. Day and night I worked. And after these 950 years, I only managed to rake up 80 people. So in 100 years, he's getting about 9 people. Imagine that will amount to getting one person in 10 years. 10, 11 years and one person. Like when someone stays in Talimuddin 10 years. That whole period, how long it seems, how long it looks. Whole period and you only got one person. But this not, this didn't, it didn't frustrate him. I'm calling them all the time. I called them in all ways. دعوتهم ثم إني أعلنت لهم وأسررت لهم إسرارا. I called them openly, publicly, public audience, then softly in a private audience I called them, in all ways. فقلت استغفروا ربكم. Then I told them from different dimensions that Allah Ta'ala will give you wealth, He'll grant you abundance. And I did everything that was possible for me to do. I did everything in inviting them, exhorting them to Allah Ta'ala. But فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَاءِ إِلَّا فِرَارًا. But my invitation only increased their flight away from righteousness. So, one Nabi you find with wealth. One Nabi you find that prefers a life of austerity. One Prophet, a Nabi you find with a great following. Great following, a whole horizon of following. And another Nabi you find without any following. And because they have all got one and the same common goal, so all of them are successful. And we can't look down upon any Nabi. All were perfect, all were complete, and all had reached their goal. By the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, all reached their goal. Similarly is the plight of mankind. Our goal must be one and the same, common goal. The grace of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Then, after the goal is the same, then we don't look at the route that we have been taken, the type of vehicle that is being used to transport us, we don't look at that. So long as the goal is the same, the transport and the vehicle may be different. One may be taken in the vehicle of a madrasa, but he's also taken to the same goal. One may be taken in the vehicle, for example, of a maktab. Right, but his goal is also the same. One is taken in the vehicle of a jamaat. One is taken through the vehicle of jihad. One is taken through the vehicle of a khanqa. Right? One is taken in the vehicle of immense ibadat. He's making ibadat and he's fasting by day and standing up in tahajjud by night. Right? So he's taken that vehicle. So different people will be taken in different vehicles, different ways. Someone is crying the whole night and someone is laughing. وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى. Allah Ta'ala kisi ko rulata hai aur kisi ko hasata hai. Kisi ko hasata hai, kisi ko rulata hai. So Allah Ta'ala is taking different people in different modes and different vehicles. Our problem is, when we see someone popular and we see him coming in the limelight, then we feel now he is very accepted by Allah Ta'ala, and kaash ki hum bhi aise ho jate, or we will wish the same for our children, that our children also must become so popular. In the Bani Israel, there were about 3 or 4 people that spoke in their infancy. Hadith got it in record. The 3 or 4 people spoke in the infancy. One was Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, that we know. In his infancy, Ya ukhta Haruna ma kana abuki imra'a saw wa ma kanat ummuki baghiya. Qalu ya Maryam anna laki hadha. When she had begotten and given birth to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, فأتت به قومها تحمل قالت يا مريم لقد جئت شيئا فريا يا أخت هارون ما كان أبوك امرأ سوء وما كانت أمك بغية. So they began to tell her, Maryam, what is this? You aren't a married person and you aren't a dirty woman. How come, where you got this from now? And you know the ancestry you got, you know your lineage. Your brother was such a noble, pious, righteous person. What did you do to bring up this type of thing? فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ. So she just indicated, the child is born now, and she's coming home. Everybody can see it's a newborn baby. فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ. She just indicated towards this newborn baby that's born just now. قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابَ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا. And he spoke, I am the servant of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has blessed me with Nubuwwat. He has granted me the divine book. So this was amongst those few people that spoke in their childhood, in their infancy. The second person that the hadith speaks about that spoke in the infancy was at the time of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was being falsely accused and charged. Mufti rahmatullahi had gone to London, and this was the time where the Shaykh rahmatullahi had also gone to spend the i'tikaf. Many of the popular priests and pastors at the time in London, they heard about this whole get together and they also became interested. They used to come and they used to sit there in the zikr, etc., and they would just weep uncontrollably. Why they're weeping, they don't know, but they could see that the truth lies here somewhere. But they uncontrollably, they crying, ask, make dua for us, for hidayat, our guidance. And some of them would want to come and discuss, and they came to Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. So they asked Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh in a little bit of a sarcastic way, you know, that we heard of some incident, waqiya, if iski tafseel kya hai? We heard of some false allegations on the wife of a Nabi, so we want to know the details of it. But he could sense it that it was in a sarcastic way that these people are asking. See, the way the person presents himself, the way he talks, the facial expression, it gives it up, you see. So Musa Rahmatullahi says that there were several incidents of this nature where the enemies of Allah Ta'ala had slandered pious people, righteous people, and Allah Ta'ala had proven the innocence of these righteous people. Basically, the Quran Sharif has got 2 in record. One is a woman who had a husband who had been married and who had a husband, and people made a false claim against her. And there was another woman that wasn't married and she had given birth to a child and people had made a false accusation against her as well. So now I want to know from you which story I must start off first. So, you know, they're asking that sarcasm, so you need to answer them in the same way. Then you can't say I'm tawazu, faqir, hakir, and all, you can't say all that. They have to answer in the same breath. So they said, lekin ta'ajjub ki baat hai, that we are surprised that how can people make such an allegation against the wife of a Nabi. So Mufsanad says, the most surprising thing is how can people make an allegation on the mother of God? So same breath, the same breath, the way they're speaking, so you have to answer them the same as they're asking, you see. They know it. It's not that they don't know and they're asking because they don't know they're ignorant. They're asking because of sarcasm, they want to run you down. So now they also had a laugh of it because they know what they're asking and they know that they touched the wrong person, you see. So this is the second person that the Quran Sharif speaks about. He says Yusuf alayhi salam, and when that false allegation was made against him, and Allah Ta'ala acquitted him, proved his innocence. A small child that's born now, small little child that's born, and the child says, oh, look, examine the shirt, the kurta of Yusuf alayhi salam. Is it torn? In kana qamisu qudda min qubulin. See if it is torn from the front or see if it is torn from the back. The child is speaking, the newborn child, he is speaking. That is the child, if that kurta is torn from the front, then this woman is speaking the truth. That Yusuf al-Islam had been making advances onto her and she was desisting, she was moving away. And in the whole scuffle, his kurta had torn from the front. But if it is, that if it is torn from the back, then she was giving him the chase and he was running away. So she pulled his kurta and this is how it tore. فَلَمَّا رَأَى قَمِيسَهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبُرْ قَالَتْ إِنَّهُ مِنْ كَيْدِكُمْ. So when he inspected the kurta of Yusuf alayhi salam, he saw that it was torn from the back. Now a small little child born yesterday, and he is giving evidence in support of Yusuf alayhi salam. They understood. So the king says, Yusuf arid an hadha wa astaghfiri li dhanbik. That it is your sin, my wife, it's your sin. You were trying something sinister here, and this man is innocent. Anyway, this was the second person whose innocence the Quran Sharif had proven. There is a third situation, also the hadith explains. Ibn Juraij. This Juraij incident was that he had taken to ibadat, absorbed in ibadat, the sweetness of ibadat and the sweetness of the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was really enjoying himself in that. In the meanwhile, his mother used to come and wanted to talk to him. Mother is a mother, obviously. She wants to talk to the child. And you have to offer the time. One youngster had passed away. No, the mother had passed away. And the youngster used to come and visit his mother's grave. See? The youngster used to come all the time to the grave and make dua, recite for his mother, etc. So his mother appeared in the dream one day. And she says, my son, you know, when you come onto my grave to recite, then don't just start reciting immediately. You wait there for a few moments and then you must recite. Because when you come onto the grave and you start reciting straight away, then the amount of nur that's flooding you, I can't see your face. Because it's covered with nur. So much, you know, just flooding one way. You know, in a floodlight you stand, you can't see the picture very clearly. Like how this clock here, if it's very bright, you open the doors and 12 o'clock, you won't see the clock, you won't see the time, why it's so bright. So I can't see your face. Now you must allow me, I'm your mother after all, allow me to see your face a little bit. And then you must carry on reciting whatever you need to recite. So now this person, he is absorbed in that ibadat, that sweetness of that ibadat. And here, his mother comes to call him. And in that namaz now he thinks, Ya Rabbi, ummi wa salati. What do I do? Do I speak to my mother? Or do I continue with my namaz? Ummi wa salati. On one side I got my mother, on one side I got my namaz. And he would carry on with his namaz. Now obviously his mother felt hurt about the whole thing, that after all I'm the mother, and he needs to show me some respect, some attention at least. So the mother cursed him. She did that a couple of times. She's coming to see him and this man is in namaz and he doesn't want to pay attention. because of his namaz. It's not that because of open defiance, but because of the sweetness that he's got in ibadat, he doesn't want to see his mother. So his mother made a baddua, she cursed him, that my son mustn't die until and unless he sees the face of a dirty woman, you know, of a filthy woman. It happened that in that same place where this person had his khanqa or whatever he had reserved for ibadat, there was a woman that had delivered a child, an illegitimate child, see? And someone put her up that you must accuse this person here, Juraij. You must accuse Juraij that he is the culprit that is responsible for this child here. Now the child was delivered, and they're asking this woman here now, who is the father of the child? Juraij. Oh, that Buzrug also. Yeah, yeah. So what are they doing in the quiet? They're giving a different picture altogether. Eh? Yeah. And they're quiet, they're doing something else. In front of us, they're like Buzrugs. Yeah. So the whole Bani Israel came up there, and they broke his whole monastery, whatever he had reserved for ibadat, they've broken it down. Why? This the reason. So this Juraij called for the child. They brought the child. Newborn child. Man Abuk, who's your father? This child says that so and so shepherd. Not this person. This person is innocent. This Juraij is innocent. But so and so. He is the culprit. Now they were in full remorse. And they want to put up, remove, restructure that whole monastery, that whole place that he had reserved for ibadat in gold. He said, no, I don't want all that. I just want my own place, that's all. I don't need anything else. But he had to suffer the consequence of his mother's baddua. Right? Because he didn't know about the rights of the mother and how important it is to attend to the mother. So he gave preference to his namaz against the calling and the command of his mother. That is why they say that even if you are performing nafil namaz and your mother has to call you, parents have to call you, then you either shorten your namaz, you break your namaz and respond to them. They may be in some need, even though it may not be an emergency, but they got some work. They got some work and you should attend to them. Break your namaz, shorten your namaz, break your namaz and see to them. So whatever his intentions were, they may have been immaculate and absolutely right. But the duty for that moment was to respond to his mother. And failure of responding to his mother, he had to go through this difficulty. Although Allah Ta'ala proved his innocence at the end, but that little bit of embarrassment he had to go through. So this was the third person that spoke in infancy. The fourth person that spoke in infancy amongst the Bani Israel, a man was going past with her child, with his child, with her child, woman or man, whatever it was. And the child is newborn, 1-2 days, still suckling mother's milk. And they go past by a prince, and you know the prince with all the frills, you know, the whole entourage, how the king will, or prince will move, the whole kafla, the whole group is moving, the whole entourage is moving, 30, 40 people in front, 40, 50 people in the back, on the sides. So the mother sees all this, and the mother makes dua for her child that is now suckling still. Oh Allah Ta'ala, make my child like this also. Obviously you feel now, hey, so much of respect, so much of power, and so much of show and all that. So you feel for that. We are human, we feel for that. So mother makes dua for this child. Allah Ta'ala, make my child like this also, popular like this as well. So this child, he's still suckling, a couple of days old. He moves out his face, he moves out, and he says, oh Allah Ta'ala, don't ever make me like this. Oh Allah Ta'ala, don't ever make me like this. But he's surprised, she's shocked now, it's two, three days old child, and he's speaking like this. In the meanwhile, they pass by another person, and this other person is being ill-treated, is being persecuted, and he's being oppressed, you see. And the mother passes this
this person as well, and she makes a dua, O Allah Ta'ala, and don't ever make my child like this. He's being ill-treated, he's being persecuted, he's being oppressed. And the child pulls out from the breast of the mother, and the child says, O Allah Ta'ala, make me like this. O Allah Ta'ala, do make me like this. Now who wants to be oppressed, ill-treated? Who wants to be? Nobody wants. Later on, it surfaced that the first person that they passed was a great oppressor. Great oppressor, living and sleeping in oppression and cruelty. So Allah Ta'ala saved this child. Allah Ta'ala wished good for this child, so He saved this child. He mustn't become an oppressor, he mustn't become a cruel person. And the second person was the saint of the time. But in spite of him being the saint of the time, he was going through this ill treatment. He was the wali of the time, and he was going through this ill treatment. And the mother couldn't see it. So the mother said, don't let my child be like this. Let my child be this, like this person here. And he becomes also the saintly person of the time. Akhir kar, dunya ki musibat aur tangiya, kuch dino ke baad khatam ho jayegi. The difficulty and constraints of the world will end up someday. Right? But it's a worthwhile investment. Your child has become a wali. He's become a means of the hidayat of hundreds of people for his own jannat and for the jannat of hundreds and thousands of people. What a great favor, what a great blessing. But for that he needed to go through a small period of difficulty. Every Nabi had gone through some difficulty or the other. أشد الناس ابتلاءً الأنبياء ثم الأمثل فالأمثل. The worst constraints and difficulties were put through the Anbiya alayhi wasallam. They went through most difficulties. All of us, we like affluence, we like wealth. One woman was complaining, you know, of the constraints that she was going through. So I explained to her in the way of comforting this woman that Rasulullah was not afraid of poverty for his ummah. لَالْفَقْرُ أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ. I don't fear poverty for you. It's an ordinary woman, not a literate and learned woman, unlettered woman, and she is phoning and she is complaining that the family is going through a financial crisis, constraints, difficulties, and you know, I'm really getting panicky about the whole thing. What do I do? So I explained to this woman that Rasulullah wasn't afraid about this. And then I went on to explain that Rasulullah is our imam, you see. He is leading us to Jannah. He is leading the way. When he is leading the way and he is telling you that, don't worry, bhai, you come with me on this way, there's no problem, problem free. Right? This is problem free. It's a friendly path. I will take you along. So will there be any need for you to be afraid? He is giving you that itminan, is giving you that dilasa, that type of comfort and that type of reassurance that you require. He is giving it to you that this path here is problem free, it's a secure path. Don't worry, come with me. I'm your imam, I will lead you. So the next week that lady phoned again, said, Mullah, you know, you told me that. From that day onwards, that fear just left my heart. That if Rasulullah is happy and he's not worried, not concerned about it, then why must I be concerned? Why must I make a curry of my magaj, you know? Why must I tear my brains apart? Why must I get worried and get excited about the whole thing? He's not afraid about it. Why must I be worried about it? Sometimes we don't realize that there may be ordinary simple people out there, you see? And the depth of the yaqeen, only Allah Pak knows. You tell them one hadith and how seriously they take it. Rasulullah is not worried about it. He's not concerned. He is really not afraid about it. So when he's not afraid about it, then we are his followers. Then if the imam, our leader, he is not afraid, then why should we be afraid? So there are some people that Allah takes along this path. He takes them in the path of poverty. Right? Some on the path of wealth. Now there are a couple of things that we need to understand, you see. One is we don't envy, don't be jealous of those people that are in the wealth. See, the jealousy is taken out and expressed in different ways. Just remember that jealousy doesn't have to come out in one and the same way. You are in the wealth, I don't have that wealth, right? So one way to run you down, to express and to take out my vent of jealousy, today's people, they just live off the banks, you know. They live off the bank, they drive around with all these type of cars, BM and Merc and all that. But when I ask them how they're living, so really what he's speaking is my jealousy. I can't see you in that wealth. So I need to put you down somehow, I need to push you down. So I couldn't come out in the open clearly and push you down. So in a crude way, I'll push you down. Yeah, you know these people today, they're living out of the bank's interest and haram, they mix up everything. Outwardly they show a good, very good picture, but kabar ka hal murda jaane. Only Allah Pak knows their condition. So really what it is, the jealousy. I can't see that wealth of that person, and because I can't see it, so therefore I'm speaking out like this. Now that is very bad, it's very bad. You don't know who, unka hal to aapko uska ilm nahi. You don't know what he's doing, what he's not doing. Why must you paint everybody with the same brush? One is your jealousy, you're getting destroyed on account of your jealousy, right? Number two is you're making a false allegation. The man may be totally innocent. He may be totally innocent. He's free of the sin. And you are insinuating. You are insinuating. And you're making a false accusation against that person. Number three, what prompted you to interfere in his business? What prompts you to interfere in his business? Just that you can't see it. You are burning, you can't see it, so you want to make this type of comments. So we don't look at the vehicle Allah Ta'ala is taking others. He's taking him in that vehicle of wealth. Bas, carry on. So long as the man is coming to masjid, he's doing the dini work and all, you carry on with him, you respect him, whatever it is. Why should you burn for that person? See, sometimes our intentions are sinister. There's jealousy that he's speaking, but in a different way. You know, a man does things, there's two levels of what a man does. One is what he shows and displays, and what is concealed within his heart. Like you see these newspapers and all that, politicians, right? There's three levels. One is what they are conniving inside. One is what they show in the newspaper. And one is what the people think of. People are thinking all very different. Newspaper is showing something else. And the politicians got some of their own agenda. It's always happened. They got their own agenda. You speaking of something else. Newspapers being something else. They say there was some war that broke out, you see, small fight that broke out, and there were corpses lying all around, strewn around the place, you see. So one Banya was walking past. The Banya people, they like wealth, money lenders. So they like that wealth. So this Banya, he's walking past those corpses and he's very afraid because it's past a certain time now. It's about to get dark. It's getting very dark and he's very, very afraid. In the meanwhile, from the dead, one voice is coming. Are Lalaji. Lalaji, when they call him, Banya, they call Lalaji. Are Lalaji. Mere batwe mein kuch sone ke sikke hai. Now the Lalaji is getting afraid also. Lekin muh mein pani bhi aa raha hai. He's getting afraid also. Ek toh murda baat kar raha hai. The dead is talking. But that water is, his mouth is watering already. See, they can't restrain that love for wealth, they can't restrain. However, it must come. So Lalaji got afraid the first time. He said, Are kahan ja rahe hai? Paise mere paas sone ke sikke hai. Now he took the himmat and he went that direction. Where that sound is coming from. Are idhar aao, idhar aao. He comes. This man that is dying there, he draws out his sword and he gives one shot. Lalaji's both legs broken down. He's fallen down. But what's wrong? You call me for the gold. Why are you cutting off my legs now? You are dying now. Why are you killing me also? He says, no, the actual thing was that there's all cops all around here. It's around Maghrib time. And I am the only surviving person here. So I was thinking, how will the whole night cut? I'm thinking, how am I going to pass the whole night? I don't have any company. So I saw you going past, and I thought, how to attract you? The only thing, only bait I could use is give you this type of story. You know, that's why I did this. So you see, he shows something else, and what is concealed within the heart is something else. So this Banya says, khud karta nahi, aur kisi ko karne nahi deta. You don't do a thing and you don't let others do it. Someone is going on, you don't want to let him go, and you can't go yourself. So this jealousy, sometimes it has the better of us, and we don't realize that it is that jealousy that is speaking. It is not that sincerity that we are talking out with. Allah Ta'ala is taking different people in different ways. He is going in that one way, we are going in a different way. What we need to keep checking and reminding ourselves is at the controls, it is Allah Ta'ala. We need to see that we are right with the control. Don't look at now who's going in which way. He's got this type of kurta, he's got that type of shoes, he's got that type of motor car, he's living it up in this way. Don't look at all that type of things. This is secondary. This is just a vehicle. It's just a vehicle that Allah Pak is taking. Qiyamat ke roz Allah Ta'ala baze ko aise jannat mein dakhil karenge. Puri zindagi bepari mein lag gayi unki. They were just business, but because of the difficulties and constraints they had in supplementing an income, generating income, for that difficulty Allah Ta'ala will give them Jannat. Look, they're looking for a halal income and they're going through difficulty and hardship. In the pursuit of halal income, Allah Pak is taking them. That is their vehicle, no? So all we need to see is generally our brothers are going the right way. But why they're going in that way, that's not your business. He's doing this business, he's doing something else, he's got something else. With all the blessings you go, you don't get mixed up. Don't mix the whole goal. The goalposts just remain, just keep the goalposts before you. Our goal is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our goalpost is Allah ta'ala. Jannat is the goalpost. Which vehicle they're going by, that is the work of Allah ta'ala. He will decide that this person must go with this vehicle, he must go with that vehicle. As Mu'ad Gangoi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi had joined himself, linked himself with Hari Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. And initially, when he should sit down for zikr, Quran Sharif recitation, whatever it used to be, but he would cry profusely. They say that he had a green shawl, and that green shawl lost color because of his immense crying. So much of crying, that thing lost color. He went up to Adi Sahib rahmatullahi and he cried. And he says, Hazrat, ab to haddi pasli toot rahe, dua karo, ye rona band ho jaye. That I'm crying so profusely, make dua now, this comes under control. So Adi Sahib rahmatullahi said him very lightly, bhai, aisa bhi hua karta hai. Aisa bhi hua karta hai. Kabhi. Sometimes you go through this type of phases as well. Anyway, after a day, 2 days or a week, all the crying just subsided, everything, full stop. Now the one that cries, you know, before Allah Ta'ala, is an enjoyment that he experiences. Outwardly it seems that he's crying away now, he must go and say, sorry, no. Really, he's enjoying himself. The type of enjoyment that he goes through, only he understands when you cry before Allah Ta'ala. But remember that crying must be real crying. It mustn't be that you are sympathetic over yourself and you're crying. Difficulties I went to Allah, and you're crying. So you're sympathizing with yourself and you're crying. So that is not the crying. You're crying over your own weakness. Allah Ta'ala, I didn't do enough. I'm doing wrong. I'm doing stupid things. I'm not behaving correctly. So you're crying over your own weakness. That's the crying Allah Pak likes. Allah Pak, that Jahannam, I can't manage. Allah Pak, please. Just out of your grace, Allah Pak, bail me out of Jahannam. Atiq riqabana minan nar. Save us from Jahannam. Bail us out of it. I can't manage it. Little bit, it's become a little bit too hot, I can't manage. A little bit too cold, I can't manage. Allah Pak, where am I going to manage that? You, out of your grace, only out of your grace. Don't look at my actions, look at your grace and just save us. So that type of crying is appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this false crying, or pretending, false crying and making up the face like that, that is not appreciated really. If you can't cry, you make yourself appear as a crying person. That's good. But to be sympathetic towards your own self, that's not right. So anyway, after a few days, now he sees that crying subsided entirely. He comes back to Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi and complains to Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi, "Ab toh rona bilkul band ho gaya. Dua kare ke wo rona phir shuru ho jaye." Now that crying is completely subsided, make dua that crying comes up again. So Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi told him, "Rehne do bhi, warna shikayat karoge ke haddi pasti toot raha hai. Just stop it now. Just now you'll cry just now that, you know, that my bones are all breaking, aching." So you're crying, with that immense crying, your bones are breaking, your pasti, you know, haddi toot rahi hai. You're crying, and you'll just have to complain again. Let's let it relax now. So Allah Ta'ala will take you in different ways. But what we need to ensure and what we need to keep before us all the time is our goal right. Or we have shifted away from the goal. When you're playing, now we're playing soccer or football, you play the ball, you don't play the person after that. So similarly, when you are in this, when you are in the path of Allah Ta'ala, in searching virtue, etc., then you keep your focus on the goal. On the goal. Don't look at people now. What he's doing, how is he going, and what's his business, and how he's come up here. Don't look at all these things here. Now you can look at all that. Your whole focus has shifted. Whole focus has shifted. Allah Ta'ala will take everybody. You do your work. Whatever work is assigned to you, you do your work. Baqi, why he's like this, and how he's like that, and why mustn't he do this, that type of questioning and all that, don't disturb your mind. See, you're going to go in that end, you're going to unnecessarily disturb your mind. You're going to traumatize your mind. That fikr, that concern that needs to prevail over us, is, are we still on the track, on the cause? Are we still on the track? Is the goal still the same? Is the goal still the same? Is the focus still the same? Look at it all the time. And you don't know. When that goal is the same, Allah Ta'ala will bring you there. Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullah, they speak about him, that he had a wealthy person as a neighbor, very wealthy person. Ibrahim bin Adham is the leader of the saints, and this wealthy person is his neighbor. Anyway, this wealthy person passed away, and someone seen him in the dream. "What maqam have you got?" "So I got the same maqam, same position as Ibrahim bin Adham. He is a leader of the saints, and this person is a businessman. And how did you get that maqam? How did you get that position?" He says that there were two works in my life. One is I never spoke lies and I never delay in my namaz. In my namaz, I never delay. At that time, whenever namaz time came, I did it. Never spoke lies, honest person. And the second thing, I used to see this Ibrahim bin Adham, you know, and he's, the way he's devoting himself, dedicating himself to the worship of Allah Ta'ala all the time. So I used to cry to Allah Ta'ala, "Allah Ta'ala, had you not placed these responsibilities of a wife, children, etc. on my head, then I would have also dedicated myself like how this man has dedicated himself to your worship, to your service." With that heavy heart, I used to go and sleep. So Allah Ta'ala liked this of mine, said my intentions were there. My focus was right. My focus wasn't wrong. I was performing my namaz. I was honest. But the second thing, my aspirations were right. That I have a responsibility. I have obligations. Wife, children, whatever else. I have this. Had I not been beset with this type of obligations, then I would have also dedicated myself like how Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi has dedicated himself. So this is an important lesson we need to learn. Is we don't look at people. You know, I say the type of occupation they got is like a vehicle that is taking them through. Allah Pak knows why He gave who which type of vehicle. We don't get worried about it. We don't envy the person. We don't get worried about it. In fact, to some extent, when we are lighter, then we need to feel relaxed and we need to feel happy. See like we were doing just now before Zohar, there was one masla that came up. One person is worried about his estate duties, you know. If you got less than 3.5, then you are absolved of estate duties. After your estate is, say, worth 3.5 or less than 3.5, then you, right? So now he's worried now how to absolve himself of estate duties, etc. Right? Now you look at the situation. Person has got only 500,000, he's got any figure? No figure. He is just walking, like he's walking through the customs happily, he's got his small attache and he's walking, not worried about the custom officer, he's just walking through. But the one that got 3-4 attaches, he got 3-4 attaches, how is he now? The custom officer will watch him also. Okay, see, let's look at his eye movement. Let's look at this man's eye movement. How is he? How is his eye movement? So we'll know whether he's a garak or not, he's a customer or not. You see? From the eye movement, they make it out. So to some extent, when you have got less of everything, then there's all the reason for us to be happy. That inshallah, we are light here, we'll be light on that end as well. But if you've got big baggages, then there's a need to be concerned about it, to make figure about it. So when we don't have it, we'll be happy. We don't envy the person. We don't be jealous over that person. And nor do we begin to pass comments about others. See, this is, I see, a big common mistake that we make. We are very quick in passing judgments, passing comments about others. We are not the judge. Allah Pak is the judge. We don't know what will be our position. We haven't passed the customs yet. The customs that will lead to Jannah, we haven't passed that. When we haven't passed the judgment that customs that will lead to Jannah, we already took that decision. How incorrect of us to do that. We haven't passed that custom that will lead us eventually to Jannah. Before passing that, when we're taking the decision. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq.